Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Good afternoon, everyone. Start my timer here so I don't go long. This is a new experience, speaking in the new hall here and looking out at the five or six people that are in the, well, there may be 10. Oh, did I start again? Oh, somebody's waving from the back there. It truly is a pleasure to be able to come here and see the few people and how much we miss the fellowship here. And as was said in the opening prayer, we ask God to allow us to congregate and fellowship again together now that we have this hall. And it's a beautiful hall, and so we're so thankful. And in so many ways, this came as a blessing at the right time. I'm not sure we would have been able to do this had we been at the SDA facility. It's a magnificent facility, and I'm excited for everybody to come here and see it. And with that, you know, comes the new challenges of setting up the sound and video system. And I really want to give a shout out to the sound and video guys and people that make this happen, because they work very hard trying to make this and learning the process. And even though there may be a few glitches, please pray for them that this goes out and it goes well, because they're working really hard back there. As for my family and myself, we're all well. My wife, Shelley, does have a bit of a cough, and so it's been persistent, and so she asked, and we were thankful for that. Homer and his wife, Anna Moore, came over to the house and dropped off a prayer cloth for her, so she can be healed. I asked that you would ask for prayers for her to help. It's been going on for several months, and it just seems to get not getting better, but getting worse. Other than that, the family is all doing well. And while I'm taking the time to do that, because we don't get the normal fellowship that I would be able to tell everybody about what's going on with my family and my wife. But other than that, we're all healthy. We're planning to attend the church or the feast in St. George, Utah, God willing. We're looking very forward to that feast, and I think everybody else is excited. It was, you know, I know there are still going to be some things going on here at Oceanside, but as we were pointed out, I know that at last they had an estimated 1,000 people that might be attending there, my wife and I couldn't remember the last time we had attended a feast site with over 1,000 people there, so very excited to do that. Finally, I'm always thankful for the opening prayer that asks for God's inspiration, that this message goes out as intended and inspires, and hopefully gets delivered in the manner that God would find pleasing. So this is a pre-feast sermon. Trumpets is a little over a month away, and with it begins the commencement of the fall holy days. And I hope this sermon will start you to start thinking about those holy days. I'm sure you already are with the plans, but to start thinking about them spiritually and starting to prepare for them spiritually. It would come as no surprise to anyone that the year 2020 has been like no other in the history of my life. The pandemic that has infected the entire world by quarantining it, the deaths, the restrictions on our normal life. I don't think anybody could have expected that. I certainly didn't expect it in my lifetime. The economic disruption, the vast number of people that are unemployed, and the disruption of our children's education process. And in 2020, it seems that our political situation is more divisive than ever in this country, with the police abuse, the rioting, the destruction of our cities. And it's not like these haven't had happened in the past, but it seems they've culminated and combined all these at once to create a very different time for us. The news that we watch seems to be nonstop. And wherever you get your news from, the newspaper, the television, the internet. But so many people in the world just seem to be lost. And the world seems to be more violent than ever. And it sure sounds like Revelations 6 through 8, which forecasted that all over the globe, people would be dying by the sword and famine and plague. And Jesus' words about the end time in Luke 21:11, that there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And these are all talking about the end time. For we know this is not God's world, and the things that we see in this are evidence that this is not God's world. We know it's not God's world because the Bible tells us so many places, and I'm not turning to these because we all know this, but I want to give you some scriptural basis for that we know this is not God's world. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it talks about Paul writing there that this is not that this is the God of this world is not our God. And in Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9, where Satan took Jesus up to the top of the mountain and looked down on it and said, I will give you all this. And how could Satan give something that he didn't own while he was this world? So we know this is not God's world, that this is Satan's world. And I will turn to Ephesians 2:2. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians 2, verse 2. Jumping in here, Paul writing to the Ephesians and saying, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And that shows you that this is Satan's world. But it seems now, and this is just my observation, that people are more lost than ever, that they can't seem to find their way, and they are searching for it. They're searching for an identity. And in that, their anger and everything else that they see, they're searching for a way of life that will give them meaning to it. And this level of individual searching seems to be more divisive amongst people than ever before. Where people seek to do and go their own way, their lifestyles and cultural wars and the terms to try and define one's identity seems to be everywhere. But this, their source for it, is looking for it in this world. But this is nothing new. That is not the way to find it. Because this happened before. I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis 5:6. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So we know that man is this way from the beginning, and that search for meaning in life if based on this world, will only be evil. Turn to verse 11 there, Genesis 6:11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, and God looked down on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways upon this earth. So as people in this world are constantly looking for meaning and identity in their lives, their search for it in this world will only be through Satan and it. And God was describing the days of Noah when he was describing this in Genesis 6. But it seems like he could be describing it today. We know that it is sin to do evil. And we know the transgression of God's law is sin. So from this, we can understand this meaning that humans only have sinning in their heart constantly to do evil. If mankind has got their mind on sinning and evil, where will they take their identity and where their meaning to life come from? They will find it in sinning in evil ways. And so I want to talk about our identity, our Christian identity. I recently attended a seminar online, obviously, as part of our lawyer training. The state bar requires that we take this continuing ed class. And it was discussing how people, our clients, come to us and how to deal with clients and what are the new terms that we have nowadays. And one of the first questions they ask us to ask our new clients is, how do you identify? And then they proceeded to tell us all the different identities that could be possible out there and how that possibly could affect you. So we have people in the world seeking identity, but they're not seeking the right identity. They're seeking the identity in this world. And in their effort to find meaning and identity in this world, people define themselves by their race, by their culture, by their sex, gender, orientation, ethnicity, country of origin, religion. And within their religions, they define themselves by their beliefs and political. The left, the right, the center, pro-life, pro-choice, pro-free speech, pro-Second Amendment, it goes on and on and on. And we see this daily of people trying to identify themselves in some manner. And what's the purpose of them trying to identify? Because with an identity, you can describe meaning to your life here. It's an attempt to give them meaning. And so if they seek out that identity, they can say, my life has purpose in it. But why all this division? And why all this tribalism? Because human beings are searching for that meaning of life in this world. But it's because it's not God's world that they will not be able to find true meaning in their life and true identity. This reminds me of David's son Solomon, because he searched for the meaning of life. So let's briefly turn over to Ecclesiastes 1, starting with verse 1. People know Solomon had great riches. He had all sorts of things. And ultimately, it was determined, I'll just read through this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work, which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets and hastens to the place it's risen there again. blowing towards the south, then turning towards the north. The winds continuous circling around, and on this circular course, the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are worrisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear heard with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new? Already it has existed for ages, which were before us. There is no remembrance of the earlier things, verse 11 here, and also the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later. So Solomon had everything, right? Riches, houses, concubines, everything. And he attributed it all to vanity. Why? And it was all, in a sense, to try to seek his identity. But something was missing. So you're asking yourself now, how is this a feast sermon? Because the fall holy days give us meaning and give us and show us the purpose of human beings on this earth. As I've already said many times, the last great day is my one of the holy days that I enjoy the most. Because it reminds me constantly that all men will have an opportunity, all humanity will have an opportunity to know God's way. My son is an aspiring hockey player, and he is a member or a participant in a group called Christian Athletes for Christian Fellowship, or Christian Athletes for Fellowship. And they sent out newsletters and emails, and I read this one, and you know, they almost get it right, but then they, at the end there, they miss it because they say, you know, they believe that this is the only day of salvation and that you've got to get out there and you need to proselytize and you need to do all these things because if you don't, everybody's going to hell. And it's just shocking that if you believe that and you believe that somebody's not been saved, they've been lost, but we have that true belief and identity and understanding and purpose in life that ultimately all the holy days point to, but certainly the fall holy days point to, and certainly that last great day, which is that all mankind that has ever lived will have an opportunity to know God and be saved and be in his kingdom. And that's the purpose and the identity that we shall have. The holy days, the fall holy days, shows plans for man and their meaning for the purpose of our life. As a young man, there were two books that helped me to understand this and helped me to come to my understanding of my purpose in life, my identity, and my purpose. The first one was secular, the second one was religious. The first one was Man's Search for Meaning. It was a book that was written in 1946 by Viktor Frankl. And it chronicalizes his experience as a prisoner in Nazi concentration camps during World War II and describes his later becoming a psychologist, which involved identifying purposes of feeling positive about it and the immense helping people to imagine the outcome of positive events. And Mr. Frankl later determined that how people had a purpose and how they imagined that purpose in the future affected their longevities and ability to survive the Nazi concentration camp. Mr. Frankl suffered some of the great atrocities of being in concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And I remember one passage that I took from that book that still sticks with me today. And that was, he was able to find a little bit of beauty in everyday life and allowed him to go on. And he spoke of this one time when he was walking through the snow with no shoes on and rags around his feet and freezing. And he was able to see a small yellow finch in the pine tree. And the beauty of that finch, and the beauty of the song of that finch, and it allowed him to see some beauty in this life, even in the immense suffering. And the sweetness of that bird's song allowed him to survive the atrocities. And so I took that away from that, and my meaning in my life is every day I try to find something beautiful in it. And we have God surrounding us in the creation and the majestic parts of it. And, you know, we are growing some fruits and vegetables in our garden. And it's just amazing. It's just, it that little thing finds joy. And it helps me. The second book was Herbert Armstrong's Why Were You Born? It's more of a booklet than a book. I think everybody ought to go back and read it. It's on the internet. It so succinctly covers God's plan and gives us identity. And it's literally, I think you can read it in an hour. But the book, Mr. Armstrong, Inspired by God, showed me that I had purpose and explained that God had a plan that was being worked out on earth, and I was part of that plan, and I had meaning. And once I had that understanding and then chose that as my identity, my life had meaning. So my life was no longer about trying to find identity and meaning in this world, which is Satan's, but finding meaning and identity in God's plans. That my identity was to be good and godly. And that gave me identity. Keeping and honoring God's feast days was part of that. And God's meaning for this physical life is being out here on this earth. And when we observe these coming holy days, we are identifying that we are Christ's first fruits. So why, with all this conflict in the world, is my opinion that everybody else trying to seek identity and to give them meaning to their lives are in such pain and suffering? Because they're trying to do it without God in their lives. Some say that these are the signs of the end time. I don't know. Matthew 24, verse 36 and 37. We all know this scripture, but I'll read it anyway. Matthew 24, verse 36 and 37. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Well, I started off this sermon talking about Genesis 6 and what were the days of Noah, and they were like that. So could this be the end time? I don't know. But it certainly has some of the characteristics that were present in the days of Noah, and we know that that means we're near the end time. So while this world seems in total destruction mode, trying to find their identity and meaning to life, we have our identity, and we have our meaning for life. And as we approach the fall holy days, we should prepare to celebrate God's plan and our identity and the meaning of it and the meaning of it for all human life. Thank you, Mr. Schneider.